Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Well, hopefully you've had a good summer, a bit of time to relax, chill out, get some rest and relaxation. How many of you have been doing that? For some, it's like, no, that would be nice, but brilliant. Just going to share a little bit this morning, a little bit of a kind of heads up for the autumn and where we're going as a church. And just want to share some things. And obviously God's going to unpack a whole lot of things over the next few weeks for the rest of the year. I got a new pair of glasses earlier in the week. And how many of you wear glasses? I can't see you, so... I've never had varifocals, right? So these ones are varifocals, and those who wear varifocals, you know, you had to make some adjustments, didn't you, from just having a reading prescription, pair of glasses where you just read it and everything's in focus, and you can, no matter where you look, it's all in focus. To then going to varifocals where one minute you kind of anybody, you know, when you had to get used to them. And I was in the, when I went to the opticians and they tested my eyes a few weeks ago, she said to me, you need to wear varifocals. And I said, I don't really want to wear them. And because you have to adjust and this, that. And she goes, no, you'll be fine. And so when I picked them up the other day, they said, look, give it a month. And you just got to spend a bit of time getting used to wearing these things and adjust. And I don't want to teach you something you already know, but basically, what they do is the reading bit is at the bottom, and then kind of more near sight is in the middle, and then to look far away is at the top. And so all week I've been kind of, you know how you just naturally kind of look round and your eyes scan round? I feel like a robot this week, because what I've been doing is every time I look to the left, suddenly it all goes out of focus, or I look up and suddenly everything's blurred like you are now, and then I have to go like that to then make sure in focus. And then I start looking down at my Bible. It's like, hang on a minute, I've got to lift my head like that. And then you find you're moving your whole head and your eyes are staying still to keep everything in focus. And you think, hang on a minute, I'm not normal anymore. And they said to me, you've got to give it a month. I mean, after the one afternoon, I was saying to Jane, these glasses are rubbish. They're just rubbish. And she's like, no, Clive, you've got to give it some time and this and that. I said, yeah, but I feel like I'm having to do this. And then the next minute, I'm driving the other day. And as I'm driving along, I'm looking out that way. Then I look down. And you know how you just naturally look down and then look up what speed are you doing, or check, you know, whatever's going on the dashboard. And then you look up again. You just glance with your eyes, don't you? And I was driving along, glance, and it's like, hang on a minute, I've got to move my head slightly. And then, you know, then I've got to move it back. And then I went to adjust the radio and went like that. And it obviously goes all blurred because I went like that. And then I said, hang on a minute, I've got to do that to adjust the radio. And then I look back out, everything's blurred. Hang on a minute. And then, and it's just, it was like, hang on, what on earth am I doing? And then I was going like that. And I'm thinking, what's the point of going like that when I've got glasses now that help me to do that? And what's the point of going like that to look down when you can't see unless you've got them on? I mean, it's... And just so you have to get used to something, right? And I was kind of just praying yesterday, and God said to me, it's like when I do something new in your life, and when I reveal who I am in a fresh way, and I begin to speak to you, and I'm changing paradigms or getting you to see things in a different way, your life has to adjust and change to what I'm doing in you. And the way you've perceived things and seen things is changing, and therefore you have to. Your life has to come into line with what I'm showing you. And when I was just praying about this morning, yesterday and early this morning, it's like there's three parts to our lives, and God works in us personally. And it's like the bottom part of the lens that when you're looking, you know, when you're reading, you're looking more out of, you know, the bottom of the lens, everything's in focus. And if you're trying to adjust, you know, do your buttons up or whatever, I mean, you should be able to do them without looking, but, you know, or you're flicking something off your clothes or whatever, it's through the bottom of the glass. So anything personal is kind of that real close-sightedness. Then when you kind of look around the room, like at home, then everything comes into focus and sharpness in the room when you look out the middle. And And in one sense, for us personally, God works in our lives personally, and there's a focus on what he does in us. But then when we look up, the middle part is like the body. What does he do in the life of the church? And the understanding, the perspective that we get when we go to the next thing, like looking out the middle. And then when we look out the top, it's like going beyond the church out into the world and what he's doing out there. And there's kind of three parts. There's that personal, what is God doing in me? What's he saying? How's he working? How does that then work in conjunction with the life of the church? But then what has that got to do with, and how does that impact the bigger picture of what he's doing? So in one sense, the bigger picture is looking out the top part of the glasses. What's the bigger picture? What does it really look like, this whole thing? What's God doing in the church, looking out the middle, that near kind of thing, the body, what I'm part of? And then there's that personal, what's he doing in me and what's happening in me that is part of the body that then God wants to do in the body that then impacts the world? And we need to live with those three dimensions all in focus. That we don't just concentrate on ourselves. What's God doing in me? What's he doing for me? How am I doing? How's my world and how am I going? But actually, what's going on in the life of the church? And have I got that in perspective? Have I got that in focus? Do I understand and see what God is doing? And how what he's doing in me personally is part of what he's doing in the body? Or do I see myself isolated as an individual, where what's God doing in me, and I see myself as an individual in the thing? No, we're members of one body, we're part of a body. So he works in us personally, but yet he works in us corporately. And he works in us corporately so that something happens out in the bigger picture of our community and beyond, in the region, the nation, and whatever he wants to do. And we see that in terms of God's kingdom purposes. And there's going to be a lot of talk, you know, and not just talk, but what God does in us during the autumn in terms of being a people of reformation and unpacking that more and more and what that looks like. But in essence, being a people of reformation is really being a kingdom people, a people of the kingdom, living the life of the kingdom in our personal lives, in our homes, in our workplace, out wherever God has called us to live and to be. Living as a kingdom people is living as a sent people. And a sent people ultimately are wanting to bring glory to who God is. Because ultimately the call on our lives is to know God and then to see our lives bring him glory in terms of what he does in us and through us. Whether it's in our family, whether it's to our neighbours, whether it is in our community, to the region that we have, the 25-mile radius, or beyond in the nation, and wherever he calls us to be and to work, and whatever he calls us to do. And I was reading John 14 over the last couple of days, and if you want to just turn there, we're going to look at a few things in John chapter 14. It's a really, really powerful chapter of some of the things that Jesus says in here about us being a kingdom people. And he might not use the word kingdom in here, but what it looks like and what it means. So if while I'm speaking, if you see my head look a little bit robotic this morning, don't worry, because I'm trying to adjust the... Like if I read here, the Bible's in focus. If I step further, I have to go like that to get it in focus. If I stand back there, I can look out the top and I can read it from there. It's amazing. So just bear with me if there's a bit of this going on this morning. I haven't got a twitch. I haven't kind of cultivated something over the summer where he's got a problem, you need to lay hands on him. It's just me trying to work out how on earth to get these things in focus for what I'm looking at. Is that all right? So John chapter 14, this is a really, love this chapter in terms of, let's just read right from the beginning. It's in the context where Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's predicted his betrayal and Peter's denial, and he's been speaking to them about what's going to happen. But then in verse 1 of 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am." Then Thomas, the great man of doubt, faith, he says in verse 5, he says to Jesus, "But Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Then Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone, is anybody in here and anyone? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. It's pretty awesome, that verse. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. There's some great promises here. Listen to this. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. There's some pretty awesome verses so far. There's more in this chapter, but we'll start with the first part. Why did Jesus come? Now, we know that Jesus came to be the Messiah and to reconcile mankind back to God, to make it possible for you and me, for people, to be saved, to be rescued from the power of sin and death and the devil, and to be reconciled to God, to have relationship with God, to know God. We know that is really the ultimate reason why he came, to make it possible for us to be forgiven and restored in relationship with God, redemption for mankind. But how did Jesus do that? He didn't just come and grow to a certain age and then hang on a cross. He lived to demonstrate and to show us, firstly, who the Father is, who God is. Because Jesus came to reveal a number of things. He came to reveal who God is, to show us who the Father is, so that we would then know who he is and how to have relationship with the Father. So Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, I only speak the words that my Father gives me to speak. So you could say that Jesus said, if you've heard me, then you've heard the Father. So Jesus came to reveal the Father, and he came to reveal that God is all about relationship. So if we're going to be a kingdom people, it's not just about the life and the dynamic of the kingdom and being a victorious, overcoming people. Right at the heart of being a kingdom people is relationship with God the Father. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three persons in one. And so God demonstrates himself what relationship looks like. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three different persons of God, yet one God together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God, through Jesus, shows and reveals who he is as the Father. But then Jesus, being filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit, surrendered himself to the Holy Spirit in his life to be led by the Spirit so that he would keep in step with the Father so that the Father could reveal who he is through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus demonstrated and showed us what it's like to know the Father, to have relationship with the Father. but also at the same time showing us that he, Jesus, was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to enable him to walk in that way, to have relationship with the Father, to show us that it's possible in our human form, in our natural bodies, to know a supernatural God and to walk with him and know him and have relationship with him. So right at the heart of Jesus coming to earth as the Messiah to enable it, us to be saved, to be reconciled to God, to have relationship with God, at the heart of that was, I'm going to show you who the Father is so that you can have relationship with the Father. So the first thing about the kingdom, being a kingdom people, is it's, in essence, it's about relationship with God, relationship with the Father. It's not about what we can do for God. It's not about all the things that we do. God's more interested in relationship with him, because that's why he came, to restore us into relationship. But in that relationship, not just from it, but in that relationship, then God wants to work in and through our lives. He wants to reveal himself not only to us, but through us, into one another's lives, but also into the lives that are around us. You know, when somebody speaks about, like you speak about, if you're married, you speak about your husband or wife. When you talk about them, you speak about them out of a knowing, not just out of a knowledge that you've read about them in a book as to what your husband or wife is like. You speak about them, describe them to people, because there's an experiential relationship. There's something you're experiencing and discovering by experience through your life. Now, when I say experience, I don't just mean a feeling, but because you're in relationship, you speak, you listen, you interact, you communicate, and there's different dynamics and dimensions to that relationship. But when you speak about your husband or wife, or you speak about one of your best mates or your best friends, it's like it comes from a depth of knowing, it comes from a depth of reality, and there's little insights as to who they are and how you describe them to somebody that then somebody picks up and get, and what communicates to them is not just knowledge about somebody, but they get this sense of what this person's like and how they are and the kind of character and nature that they have because of the way you're describing them out of not just knowledge of that person, but a knowing of who they are. And God is jealous for us to know him in that way. That we go beyond knowledge of God, but we know him in an experiential knowing, firstly as Father, because out of knowing him as Father, there comes that reality and that massive impact in of sonship, of belonging, of being a child of God, of knowing who he is. And so Jesus came to reveal the nature and the character of the Father. So when the disciples saw Jesus praying and they're like, man, the way you relate to God, it is not just out of a form and out of function and out of knowledge. Like we see the rabbis kind of talk about and the way the law seems to communicate. The way you talk to God when you, it's like, Jesus, teach us in that same way. This, what is going on with you? And Jesus said, this is how to pray. And immediately he says, Father. Father. And he moves it from, in that culture, in that day, from what you do to please God or how you're supposed to be, according to the rabbis, in terms of, you know, your outward appearance and doing everything in the right way. He moves it from a completely different, into a completely different paradigm of, it's not what you do and all of that, but it's Father. Father. And you can imagine at that moment, because of Jesus' relationship, imagine when the disciples came to him, because I don't know what you do when you read the Bible, but I always think, especially when Jesus is speaking, I'm thinking, what's going on at that moment? What would that be like in that moment to be there? Do you ever do that? And when he stands there and he says, Father, I don't know if for the disciples, the whole world stopped at that moment. Because I don't think Jesus ever spoke about the Father in just a flippant way. Imagine what it would have been like when he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. I don't think he'd have just said, just say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come on, guys, you just need to... I reckon when he said it, something must have been going on, our Father. And even when he said the words, he was demonstrating the reality of that relationship. Because in that moment, the disciples, I'm sure, were being drawn into something. It wasn't just, here's a form of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It wasn't like, this is the word. He said, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And these guys must have been, whoa, drawn into, why did they want to follow Jesus? Because there was something of the reality of how he revealed God, the Father, through his life, because of the reality of his relationship. And as he was, Father, hallowed be your name. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallowed. Glorious. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It was like these guys were getting insights. Hang on a minute. This isn't just like a form of prayer that we hear taught in the synagogues and just doing things by rote. This is another thing altogether. This is, you know, Jesus, show us the way, you know. And then, so when we come to John 14, and Jesus begins to speak here, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. I am the way. If you want to know the Father, then do the same as I have. Relate to him in the same way as I have. You know, when you read through the Gospels, and often Jesus was put under pressure in certain moments to prove this, prove that. They tried to catch him out, or, you know, get him off guard, to say the wrong thing or to do the wrong thing or to pressurize him to come out with something. When you read those situations, he never panicked, did he? You never see a panic moment in Jesus' life. And he always comes across that he is living in a place of total well-being, place of rest, not rush, but rest. So when the pressure came, he didn't suddenly go, right, hang on a minute, hang on. It's like, Father, even though there was pressure all around him, in him there was so when he taught them how to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. I reckon that release of rest, the release of the presence of God, the release of what happened at that moment. When this woman was dragged out because she was caught in adultery in front of Jesus, and they're like, come on, Jesus, the law says, you know, the rush of pressure. Come on, Jesus, the law says she should be stoned because of what she do. What do you say? You can, you know, maybe we'd have been like, oh, crumbs, what are we going to say now? There's a pressure moment. But Jesus was, whatever he wrote in the ground, or on the ground, it'd be interesting because it was in the temple area where there was no dirt, so I don't know how he had a bit of chalk on him or what, But in that moment, see, what was released in that moment He said, if nobody's ever sinned, you can cast the first stone. They all left except him. See, what was released at that moment was the nature and the heart of the Father. Because he asked the woman, who condemns you? Nobody. Well, neither do I. He says, go and leave your life of sin. So he was still clear with her. Look, you've been shown mercy, but, you know, leave your life of sin. But in that moment, heart of the Father. Pressure moment, but still the Father's heart came through. Mercy. Other times, you know, they tried to catch him out in different ways, but so when they said to him, show us the who the Father is, show us the Father, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So part of the nature of being a kingdom people is a people who know the Father. I know some people have not had a good experience of dads in the natural. And so on one level, you might, you know, some people you might think, well, I can't exactly relate to what you might say now. But for me, you know, I've had great parents, amazing parents. And kind of growing up, when my dad was around, I don't mean because he was traveling a lot, but when you're with that person, at that moment, it's like, everything's all right, my dad's here. The walking wallet, we used to call him, when we were growing up. How many parents are like that? Your kids are like, dad, yeah, how you doing today? I'm doing fine, thanks. And you know it's like, how much? You know, you're just waiting for that one. You know, sometimes the kids are, how you doing? You doing all right, Dad? Yes, thanks. Yeah, what's this going to cost me then? Yeah, all right. But there's that, when you're out and about and your dad's there, it's like, well, that's all right, my dad's here. Everything's okay. If we need something, he'll sort it. If a situation arises, he'll sort it. It's like there's a confidence. And so there was no worry. There was no concern. There was no, what's going to happen now? Or what could we, you know, there was this assurance, safety, security. Because that's the nature of a father. And imagine Jesus' relationship with his Father. So any situation that arose, whatever it was, whether it was a pressurized one where they were trying to catch him out, or whether it was a situation where somebody needed to be healed, or somebody needed something or whatever it was, it seems like Jesus lived in a place of total well-being. I don't know about you, but I can sense that in the room now, just total well-being. Now, the world is living at 150 miles an hour. There's all kinds of things kicking off out there. Obviously, the whole immigration thing is the big thing at the moment, isn't it, in terms of what's happening? And the amount of lives that are being affected, and nobody knows where it's going to end up and what it's going to look like at this moment. It's just trying to deal with the tens, hundreds, thousands, potentially millions of people shifting all over the place at the moment. People's lives are running at 150 miles an hour. Internally, people are in panic mode. They're in strife. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And the world needs a kingdom people that know the Father. Because when you know the Father, there's a rest. There's an ease, a place of safety, security, where you know, Father, I thank you that you're my Father. Because you're my Father, Everything's okay. I'm secure. I have right identity and understanding of who I am as your child. And as my father, I also have access to everything that is his, which is his kingdom. So we know that God is not just Father, but he's also Lord. He's mighty, he's majestic. We know he's our strong tower. We know he's our warrior. He's all kinds of things, you know, in the Word. But the reality of all of those things flows from knowing him as Father, because it all flows from relationship. And in that relationship with his Father, God reveals more and more of who he is. Then Jesus, he says to these guys, hey, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because I am in the Father and my Father is in me. The words I say are not mine. Because I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, what comes out of my mouth then flows from the Father. It comes from him. Because I'm so at one with him, what flows from my life, my mouth, is the words of the Father. And what flows from my life is the heart and the nature of who the Father is. I'm one with him. Then he says, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. At least believe on the evidence of the miracles. Why does he say that? Because Jesus says, I don't do the miracles. It's the Father doing the miracles through me. You know, it's amazing, I think, so often it's easy as Christians that we think that Jesus could do all the things he did because he was Jesus. Jesus could only do the things he did because he was submitted to the Father in the way that he was and dependent on the Holy Spirit to do those things. Because he said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. And then he goes on to say, didn't he, that I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. So he's really reiterating, he's like, guys, everything of my, I've come here, yes, to rescue, save, but I've come to bring you into relationship with the Father. And the Father is like this, this and that. And I've shown you who the Father is by living the way I've lived, because it's the Father living in me. And I am the way to the Father. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way to know him. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I'm in him and he's in me. And the words I speak are his, because he's in me and he flows through me. And on that basis, I tell you the truth, that anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Because it's not me that's been doing it. It's the Father in me that has been doing it. And then he goes on to say that he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So he's now saying, hey guys, I've got to go to the Father because the Father wants to do more than just what I have been doing. God, the Father wants to multiply what he's been doing. And so I'm going to go to the Father. And then in the rest of the chapter, we haven't got time this morning, but he then talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I've got to go and be with the Father because the Father wants to send you the Holy Spirit so that you can know the Father in the same way as I know the Father, so that you can have the Father in you in the same way that I have the Father in me, so that you can do the same things that I have been doing and greater things still. So you're going to need the Holy Spirit in the same way that I have the Holy Spirit. But in order for you to receive the Holy Spirit, to be who the Father wants you to be, I've got to go to the Father. And so that then the Holy Spirit can come into your life, and he will, and you'll do even greater things because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. When I was praying, God just gave me this little, very simple analogy, and I said to the Lord, "Okay, just we know a lot of this stuff, and." So how do we live, really simply, how do we live in the way that God has been speaking about? Well, we know there's the verse in the Bible that says that I have been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, right? And so on one level, it's like, how do we live in the way that God has called us to? Well, first of all, it's like this. I've been crucified. I've been buried. My old life is gone. I'm dead. That's what God has done, that I no longer live. So God wants me to live dead to the I. But how do we do that? On a moment by moment, ongoing basis. And then, oh, did you hear my back creak then? That was quite good for me, that, wow, on the floor. But then I said to God, well, how do you, okay, I've been crucified, I'm dead, I'm buried, I no longer live. How do I walk that out then? And he said like this. And we sang it in the last song. I bow before your throne. I lay my crown before you. The truth of what God has done is we have been crucified. We no longer live. But then walking that out, he said, Father, I want to lay before you. Not just in a moment of worship, but I want to lay my life before you moment by moment, to trust in you, to honour you, to worship you, to glorify you. I want to live, although physically I'm lying down, it's like this is the position of our hearts. I want my heart to be bowed down before you, before your throne, to give you honour in my mind, my thought life, in my heart, attitudes and motives. And God, I want to live as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. And as that is the position of our hearts, it's like, Father, I want to know you. Then what happens is, in the spirit, if you like, in who we are in him, he enables us to stand. We're still in our hearts laying before God, saying, God, I lay my life before you. Surrender on an ongoing basis, because surrendering to God isn't a Sunday morning, let's surrender afresh to him, done that, great, crack on with the week now. You know, if this is relationship with the Father, and Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen him. If you've heard me, you've heard him. It's like, wow, Holy Spirit, I can't live that. There's no way I can do that in my own strength. I can't decide this morning, right, I'm going to do that this week then. I'm going to, hallelujah. And because we're going to be trying in our own strength all week to live like that. In one sense, it's like, God, I surrender afresh. I lay before you. I want that to be the position of my heart. I want to know you as my Father in increasing measure. But Holy Spirit, I'm totally dependent on you to then walk this out and live this out so that more of who you are is revealed in my life, but more of who you are is revealed into others. Because Jesus didn't carry the presence of Jesus around with him. He carried the presence of the Father with him. Because when he spoke, they said, wow, where did you get that authority? Well, he got it in the presence of the Father. When he spent time with the Father, what happened? We know in Matthew 17, he took Peter, James and John up the mountain. He was transfigured, right? I reckon that must have happened quite often with Jesus, don't you? There's no evidence to say it happened, but no, I mean, no wonder Jesus wanted to keep nipping off, you know, and prayed all night. I mean, if he'd come from the glory of, you know, and came down to earth, man, I'm sure at times he's like, how long is this going to take? How long? When can I go back? When can I come back, you know? And I reckon sometimes he just went off up the mountain because it was like, oh, it's just so good to be with you, Father. So good to be in your glory. Do you know what I mean? And God's like, that's what it's like when you come and spend time with me. I want to reveal who I am. I want you to live in that. I want you to abide in that. So it's like, oh, Father, I want you to live with a sense of the tangible of who I am in your life moment by moment. But how does that happen? Because we cultivate that. We spend time in. Thanks. But this morning, really, God's more interested in relationship and Him being Father and how that liberates us. And the hunger, the longing, the desire that grows in each one of us. God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I just want to know about you. I want an experiential knowing. And when I say that, it's not just feelings. It's experiential, the reality of knowing you so that others around, they know you. Whatever's going on in our lives, others pick up on that. It just happens. More is caught than taught. You know, it's a well-known phrase, isn't it? But you catch the vibe of somebody's life when you hang around them, when you spend time with them. When Jesus went, Father, who art in heaven. I bet something must have happened at that moment. Your kingdom come. The disciples must have been like, whoa, this is another dimension. This is, you know. Let's stand together, shall we? There, I've got a whole load of stuff we're going to talk about, but that can come some other time. We've got communion still, so is that all right? Just, I know time's kind of... And when we receive communion, we're eating and drinking of Him. We're partaking of who He is, because we've been brought into Him. I don't know, just where you are, just close your eyes for a moment. Just be in His presence right now, because He's here. He's been here all morning. Just talk to the Lord and maybe just tell Him, Father, I want to go beyond knowledge. I want to go beyond where I am at this moment with you. Father, I want to move into a deeper, closer, more of an experiential knowing of who you are. Oh God, I want to know you as Father. Not just to come to you when I need something or got to pray about something, but to know you as Father, to abide in you, to rest in you as Father. Because then Jesus says, anything you ask, whatever you ask, it's done in that relationship. Father, I thank you as a people that during this next few months, during the autumn, that it won't just be about what you want us to do or how we're supposed to be, and we try and do that, but fresh revelation of who you are as Father, fresh revelation of who you are, where we're just running at 150 miles an hour in any way, shape or form, that stuff is just broken off of our lives as we know you in a deeper, more real, tangible way. Maybe just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you, over these next weeks and months, would you reveal more of the Father? Would you reveal more of who you are? Thank you for a fresh hunger and desire, longing to know you. It's not based on anything you've done for me or what you could do for me, but it's literally, God, I want to know you. And in that God wants to reveal who he is to your family, friends, work colleagues, community, the world, whatever, wherever. We want to cultivate as a church much greater, whatever phrase, environment, atmosphere of him amongst us. That we give time and space in our lives, and when we're together, we gather to meet with him, to hear from him, but we live as a sent people. We don't live as a gathered people. We gather together to get equipped, encouraged, strengthened, because we live as a sent people. We're on a mission. The beginning of the book of Acts, Luke writes, saying that the Gospels, you know, Jesus came and began to do the things that he did. He began. Jesus' personal work was accomplished on the cross, but he passed the baton on. The work that he began, he then passed on to the early church. Now you go and make disciples to the nations. Then you read the book of Acts, and the book of Acts never finishes, really. It doesn't have an end where there's a full stop and a finish at the end. It says, that's the book of Acts, what's next? The book of Acts finishes kind of unfinished. There's the early churches, and things were going on, and God was moving. And why didn't God ever finish the book of Acts? Because we are now living out the book of Acts in the 21st century now. So we receive the baton to run with the things of God in this generation of time. And so as the early church lived as a sent people, we live as a sent people. So Father, I thank you for who you are. You continue to reveal who you are amongst us. We thank you for the power of communion, what it represents. We thank you that you took the bread and you broke it. You gave thanks. You said, this is my body which is given for you. You took the cup and you said, this is the blood of the new covenant, a blood that's shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you eat this, drink this, remember me. So, Father, I thank you as we just take of the bread and drink of the cup now. Thank you. It's not just a symbolic action, but this is something that is about our relationship with you. We eat of you. We're dependent on you. We drink of you. It's the power of your blood at work in our lives right now that enables us to be your children, to live confidently and boldly in you and before you. We thank you, Jesus. Can we have the band up? Is that right? And do you want to just begin to pass the bread and the wine around? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. As you receive communion this morning, just thanking that you have been crucified with Christ, that the old life has gone, that you're dead and buried. You don't have to try and live. The Bible isn't just... messages we hear aren't just right now, I've got to try and live that. Everything God says to us is rooted in what he has done and who we are now in him and what he enables us to live in by the power of his Holy Spirit. But in order to do that, it means a constant moment by moment surrender. God, I want to lay my life before you, but I want to live in that. I want to live that way constantly, moment by moment, dependent on you, listening to you, being led by you. What does it mean to live in the rest of God? It means to live in the power of the Spirit. It means to live as to who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. It's living in the now of who God is in each one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that in our homes, a fresh release of who you are. Fresh release of your presence in our homes, Father. As we seek to know you as Father, as we seek to know you in relationship, we thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Father, I thank you, you answer the cry of our hearts as we set our hearts to know you in a deeper, more fuller way. I thank you that you respond, Father, that you reveal who you are, Father, in our lives, in our homes, around our lives, that together when we do come together on a Sunday or in small groups and when we're reaching out in the community and different things we're doing throughout the week, Father, I ask you that what would mark who we are as a church is you amongst us, the tangible weightiness and presence of who you are, Father, in us and amongst us. That we wouldn't be like everybody else out there, but like Moses said, God, who's going to go with us? And you said, my presence will go with you. Because he said, God, how would we be different to anybody else out there unless your presence goes with us? Because we all look the same as everybody else. We dress the same and all of that. But what's going to be the difference? God, the only difference will be if your presence is with us. That's the only thing that marks us out. You amongst us. And God said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll mark you off. I'll make you different because I'll be amongst you. And he went beyond that and he says, Father, that's brilliant, but God, I want to know you. Show me your glory. Show me who you are. I want to know you. I want to face to face with you. And God loves that. God responds to that. And he wants us to be a face to face people. Then wherever we live, wherever we go, in our homes and workplace, we're around about, there's something about us, his presence, the tangible of his nature and character, who he is amongst us. Let's just raise our hands for a moment. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our Father. Father, I thank you. You just reveal more of who you are in these coming days. That we don't just live as a gathered people, but we live as a sent people. Because you sent your Holy Spirit so that you could be in us and we could know you as Father. And so, Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that in these next few weeks and months, you release your Holy Spirit in fresh ways, in greater ways amongst us to reveal more of who you are, but also so that we live as a sent people, carrying and taking your presence, your life, your nature, your character, in our homes, the community, wherever we live, wherever we go, whatever's happening, whatever you commission us and command us to be doing, whatever that looks like, what will be present in all of those things will be you, your presence, your nature, your character, in the same way that Jesus says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The Father, your kingdom would come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you would go beyond us, you would go through us, you would break out in a fresh way, that you would move in us, amongst us, and through us, Father. And I thank you for a hungry, passionate people that hunger after you, hunger after you, hunger after you. But at the same time, we know that we're living, we're hungering after you because we're also living as a sent people, because there's so many people out there that need to know you as Father and need to be reconciled to you. To come into that forgiveness, that freedom, that healing, that wholeness, that fullness, that relationship with you. Father, let us be a gate. Let us be an entrance point. Let us be people where you reveal yourself in and through, Father. praise your name. We thank you for the awesome privilege that we have of knowing you. We thank you, Father. We owe you so much. We can never, ever give back to you what you've given to us and lavished on us. Father, we want to live in you and abide in you. We praise your name. We thank you, Father. Just thank him, thank him, thank him. You can praise him, shout, clap, whatever. But just thank him for how good he is, how amazing he is, how awesome he is. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. You're worthy of all honor. You're worthy of all praise. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. If you don't know Jesus here this morning, and you're saying, wow, you talk about God like you know him. Well, we do know him. And he wants to know you. He wants you to know him. If you don't know God as Father, we're going to have, I'll be here, some other guys, people will be here at the end. And we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. People need to receive healing. Whatever that might be, again, some of us will be up here, over to your right, mainly at the front. If you know you need to receive some stuff, we'll agree with you. We'll help you encounter God in whatever way you need this morning. But God wants to heal and do that kind of stuff. But also, if you don't know Jesus, you're saying, I want to know God in the way that you're talking about this morning. I've got to give my life to him. If you're at that point and we'd love to talk with you and pray with you, just come up to the front afterwards and we'll help you just encounter God and begin to know him. Father, I thank you that you would be gracious to us. That as we live our lives this week, we live out who you've called us to be. That your presence, your tangible presence, you amongst us, would be the difference this week. In our homes, when we go to work, school, college, whatever environment we're in, something of you would be just revealed and being manifest through our lives. In a world that's living at 200, 300 miles an hour, just what's going on here, there and everywhere, that when we are, wherever we are, you would walk into those places and begin to touch lives and work in lives this week. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Isn't God good? Let's just thank him. Thank him. Thank him this morning. Father, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're wonderful. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Wednesday night, we're obviously meeting at Roffey Place to pray. You know, some of that is to give space to encounter God and meet with God. Sunday we have a certain amount of time, but it's Wednesday night this week, time to really encounter, as well as to pray into some stuff. It's to give some time to encounter God and meet with him. So 7:30, Rob, we'd love to see you there, and we'll have a great evening together. But be really blessed today. Have a great afternoon. And just live as a sent person this week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.